Again tonight to Luke chapter 15 in our morning service. In our study of the first 10 verses in Luke 15, I highlighted some very subtle differences between the shepherd and his lost sheep and the woman and her lost coin. As I noted, chapter 15 is a chapter that has three parables of lost things. We looked at the two this morning. And tonight we come to the third parable. It is probably one of the most familiar parables of all the Scripture. It is generally referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. I've stated a number of times from the pulpit that G. Campbell Morgan believes it's more concerning the father's heart than it is concerning the son. But even if the emphasis was put on the son in this parable, I would have to title it the parable of the prodigal sons, plural, not singular. And even if you were going to single out one of the sons, I would suggest it was not the son that receives most of the attention, that is the real prodigal. Having said that, though, tonight we want to consider these two sons as both being lost. There are differences between the two, as we noted between the coin and the sheep this morning, but there is a significant difference between this parable and the two that preceded it. In the parable of the lost coin and in the parable of the lost sheep, we have two objects that had no ability to think. The coin, obviously, being inanimate, could not. The sheep, although it has some intelligence, does not have the ability to think through or reason through problems. The sheep could do nothing to affect its lost condition and to remedy itself. Tonight, as we come to this parable, we find two sons who had the ability to think. And out of that ability to reason, they make decisions. Some of the decisions they make thinking are made with good thought processes. Some of the decisions that they make with lousy thinking processes. Nonetheless, they make these choices, and they make them out of a rational or reasonable, and I use that not in the good or bad sense, but the fact that they actually think their way through these things, either rightly or wrongly. Let's read the parable together here. Verse 11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. As we did this morning, tonight I want to contrast the younger son and the older son. As I noted, these two boys made decisions. Some good decisions, some bad decisions, but all their decisions were based upon a certain knowledge. And this sets them apart from the previous two parables. And then we want to make application tonight to ourselves. First of all, we find that both of these boys knew the goodness of home. They had a great home life. Reading between the lines, you would have to say that this was an A number one dad. I'm not too sure how affluent he was, but apparently they were not lacking for anything. They were doing more than just getting by, because this father had servants. And certainly you had to have some wealth to be able to afford servants in your house. These boys had it pretty good at home. But it wasn't that they were spoiled by any stretch of the imagination either. They both knew how to work, and we see them out here working and supporting themselves. I think these were privileged in all the right way, young men. But at a point in time, and we don't know exactly how old they were, the younger of the two sons comes to his father and says, you know what, one of these days, part of this whole shebang here is going to be mine. I'd like it to be today. Give me mine inheritance. As I noted on Father's Day, apparently the older son was in agreement with him. For verse 12 says that the father gave the portions of the good that defalleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. While the older son was not necessarily making or asking for his inheritance early, he certainly wasn't opposed to it. And they knew how good it was going to be. The younger son, however, a few days later, chose to leave home. The older son said, hey, I've got it pretty good here. Why in the world should I leave? As I was thinking about that, I said to myself, well, what about the younger son? Why in the world would he choose to leave? Think about this for just a moment. Here you have a dad who is an A number one dad. It doesn't get any better than this. You have wonderful surroundings at home, everything that you could want. What was the younger son going to get out in the world that he couldn't have at home? Well, maybe I better change that question. What was the younger son going to get out in the world that he needed that he couldn't have at home? You see, the only thing that was available to the son outside the home was stuff that he probably shouldn't have had or wanted, and certainly stuff that he didn't need. But he chose to leave. What a stupid decision. But yet he thought about it, and he said, you know what, I want to go out and I want to see the world. I'm not content with the way things here at home. I think there's something better for me outside. The older son may not have necessarily thought about how good he had it, but he said, I'm staying right here. It's good enough for me. Secondly, they both knew the power of temptation. Now, obviously, the younger of the two sons knew the power of temptation. But the fact of the matter is, all of us know of the power of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken us, but such is common to man. It doesn't matter who you are subject to temptation. Sometimes people feel that they get in situation and they're unusually or uniquely vulnerable to temptation, and if they were somebody else, they wouldn't have to struggle with it. Well, I believe that God has created us with certain strengths and weaknesses that sin has kind of exaggerated. Some of the things that you might be tempted with may not bother me. Some things that I can be tempted with may not bother you. But nonetheless, we all know of temptation. We are all subject to being tempted. The Lord Jesus Himself was tempted, yet without sin. Temptation in and of itself is not sinful. Responding to temptation in a wrong way is. And both these sons knew the power of temptation. I suggest that even the older son, while he may have remained at home, was subject to the same thoughts and enticements that the younger son found out in the world. However, the younger son chose to sin. Not many days after, he gathered all his journey. He took off into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. The word riotous does not necessarily mean that it was immoral, although later on we find that the older brother says that he was involved in immorality. But the idea of the word, the main idea is this, that he was spending his money as if there was no tomorrow. That he was drinking, and being merry, for tomorrow we die, and let's go out and let's just spend it all till there is nothing left, and something will happen, and if I need more, it'll come along. The other brother, when temptation came, said, you know what, I'm saving up everything that I have here. The younger son chose to sin. He knew the power of temptation, and somewhere in his mind he knew the things that he was being tempted with were wrong, but he said, you know what, either I won't be found out after all, I'm in a foreign place and nobody knows me here, it doesn't really matter, evil consequences won't befall me here, or I can get away with it, it won't hurt me, all kinds of excuses. And when temptation came along, he chose to submit to it. May I say to you that one of the great abilities for a person to resist temptation is to think of its consequences. Temptation always, always looks good. The writer of Hebrews talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. And sin initially is usually pleasurable. It couldn't be very tempting if it wasn't, oh, this is going to hurt. Oh, hey, let me in on that. Well, I don't think so. Well, it is going to hurt in the end. And this younger son didn't think his way through it very well. When temptation comes, remember that sin will always find you out. He chose to sin. The older son didn't choose to sin in this, at least in this area of immorality. Both knew the sovereignty of God. Both knew that God was a God who was controlling all, a God who was sovereign over all, a God who would say jump and you were to respond how high. A God who said to Israel, thou shalt not do this, and a God who said to Israel, you shall do this thing. And they both, I believe, were aware of the teachings of the Lord. And when it came time to act upon that knowledge, the younger son chose to disobey while the older son obeyed. Look at the verse, getting the right chapter here, page. Verse 14. There arose a mighty famine after he had spent everything he had, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now, wait a minute. Jewish boys don't feed swine. They are unclean animals. To come in contact with them would render him ceremonially unclean. The Lord said, you are not to be touching the unclean thing. And he said, well, I got a comport myself somehow. So even though God is the one who tells me what I can do and what I can't do, I got to choose to obey myself and satisfy myself first. Notice the attitude of the older son in verse 29, where he says, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment." Well, I'll have something to say about that in just a moment or two. But at least in these areas of Mosaic law, the older son chose to obey. He made some good choices. The younger son, well, we might understand his choice to disobey. What's he going to do? Well, then it comes to a matter of, well, if God is the God who is sovereign, who says, don't do this and do this, he also has to be the God who can supernaturally or naturally provide for me to accomplish that. And consequently, his thinking was wrong. But I love what it says in verse 17, the very beginning of this, "And when he came to himself," in other words, when he began to think right. Oh, he was thinking all the time. He was just thinking poorly. But now he recognized his situation. And he came to himself. What's interesting about this parable is compared to the first two. In the first two, you see the person who is the owner actively going out and seeking that which is lost. Here the emphasis is the person who is lost comes to himself and says, "I'm going back home." The father never traveled after him. Now we know the father was looking for him every day, but the father never left home. Here the emphasis is on the son coming to his right mind and returning home. So let's draw some contrast again. Both the younger son and the older son knew the forgiveness of God. When the younger son came to himself, he said, "Look, boy, I had it a whole lot better back home. If I would turn around and go back home, even my dad's servants have enough to spare. I don't have anything out here. I'll just go home and say, 'Dad, I have sinned against thee before heaven, or I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm not worthy even to be called thy son. Make me one of thy servants.'" And the only reason he figured he could say that is he knew that the father would forgive him. If he had any doubts in his mind of the forgiveness of his father, he would say, "Well, you know, it's not really worth the long trip back. It'll be humiliating. It'll be a waste of time. I might as well go somewhere else and see if I can't start all over." But he said, "I can't go home." In that he knew the forgiveness of his father, he said, "I can go home and do this. It's worth the trip." If the younger son knew that dad was a forgiving dad, the older son also knew that dad was a forgiving dad. He had to display those characteristics or that characteristic before each son equally. The younger son chose to return. But notice what it says in verse 25. "Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto them, 'My brother has come. My father has killed the fatted calf, received them safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in." I'm staying out here. I'm not going in there. I don't want to be part of this forgiveness thing. There's that brother of mine, and he wasted all the money and so forth, and he made all these bad decisions. And now my dad's made a mistake in forgiving him. It's just not right. I don't have anything that I need to be forgiven of. Hold on there, Charlie. See, that was his attitude, verse 29, "Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment." Well, wait a minute. Where were you when the younger son came and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance"? Was that the right thing to be asking? And the answer is no. It would have come to you sooner or later, but it wasn't time now. But yet, you were there with your hand out. And when Dad passed it out, you received it and said, "Dad, you know what? This isn't right. I'll just wait till the time is right." No, you didn't say that. You were just as greedy as the younger son. And he needed forgiveness too. I'm not going in there. And he chose to stay out. The father comes out and he pleads with him, "Son, come on in." "I refuse." Both of the boys knew the consequences of sin. We see this in the younger son's thing, "I am no longer worthy to be called one of thy sons." If you will make me a servant, I'd be happy with that. Sin had left a crimson stain. And if he could just get away and make it a little less red, he would be happy. He knew that he was not worthy of forgiveness. He knew that he was not worthy of blessing. He knew that he was not worthy of having a party thrown in his honor. The other son, though, didn't realize that. "I've been with you all this time. You never gave me a party. You never killed a fatted calf for me. I am worthy." The younger son chose to humble himself. The older son chose not to. The younger son received the forgiveness that the father had to offer. The older son never did. Now, I believe this is a picture. Remember the circumstances here. Back in chapter 15, verse 1, we have the scribes and the Pharisees, and we have the publicans and sinners. The scribes and the Pharisees were like the older brother. "We've never done this, we've never done that, we've never done this. We're out here, we're laboring in the temple all the time, we're doing all these good things," and they didn't realize they had sin that needed forgiveness also. Where these publicans and sinners, they've wasted all their days on riotous living, and it's not right that God should forgive them. But these publicans and sinners humbled themselves and recognized that God was a forgiving God and came to Christ and received that forgiveness. Why? Because they chose to. Let's sum this all up tonight. Everything that these two young men did, they did because they chose to. We could say that no one put a gun to their head and forced them, and even if someone put a gun to their head, they would choose either to submit to that coercion or not. Every activity in life that we participate in, we choose to participate in. Every activity of life that we abstain from, we choose to abstain from. Flip Wilson said years ago, "The devil made me do it." The devil cannot make you do anything. He can strongly suggest, he can tempt, but he can't make. Every action that we take or don't take, we take because we choose to. It's as simple as that. Now let me ask one more question and we'll wrap it all up for the night. Why would the father love the younger son and forgive him? Simple answer. I hope you know what it is. Three words. He chose. I hear people say when they get into certain circumstances, there's a breakdown in personal relationships, marriage relationship, a working relationship, whatever the relationship may be. "Oh, I can't forgive that person. I can't love that person. I can't do that with this person. I can't be around that person." The father, according to the older son, should have had that attitude towards the younger son. Why couldn't he be around him? Well, it's humanly difficult. Yeah, I know that. But the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, for the love of God constrains us. The very same love that God has for the world is the same love that He invests in us when we come to Christ and receive Him as Savior. And it's that very same love that God chose to demonstrate to the world, to give to the world in sending His Son. And it's that very same love that we can demonstrate to others if we choose to. Or if we choose not to. God is a forgiving God. He sent His Son into the world to reach sinners and publicans, politicians, doctors, lawyers, farmers, and even pastors. I'm thankful that He made that choice, aren't you? Now He calls us to do the same. The question is, will you choose to? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the parable of the Father's heart, of the prodigal sons, of the prodigal son who left home, of the prodigal son who stayed home. Or whatever we want to call this portion of Scripture. Thank You for the fact that it speaks of the love of God that sent Jesus Christ into a world of sinners. Some big sinners, some little sinners. Some with many sins, some with few sins. But nonetheless, all sinners. That He would give Himself on Calvary's cross, pay sin's penalty in full, so that all who would call upon the Lord Jesus Christ could be saved and given eternal life. Thank You that God the Father chose to send His Son. Thank You that God the Son chose to go. Thank You that God the Spirit enabled Him to accomplish our salvation on the cross, and is now in this day and age convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment, and is drawing people to Christ. Father, help us to think rationally, that is, to think biblically, and make right decisions, choose to follow You, that we might say, like Joshua did, as for me and my house, that we will choose to serve the Lord. Father, put someone in our path this week that we might have opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with. And Lord, we pray that as we have that opportunity, the heart of that one will be prepared, that as the word goes forth, they might respond. Like the prodigal who left, come to Himself, come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have rejoicing, and that you might have rejoicing also. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good week.